Coming back to the serious side of what we're discussing here, a budget which is uninspiring and doom and gloom and grey. We talk about grey. We've got our resident NZCTU guru, if you like, on the line. Welcome. How are you?
Look, I'm feeling a little bit outraged at a budget.
Go for it. You've come to the right radio network to be outraged, my sister.
I know. Well, look, honestly, this budget is absolutely delivering absolutely nothing for Māori. There is nothing in it for workers. And talking about, you know, future generations, in this budget, they are going to load more costs of education onto students, but taking away opportunities. They just do not get... Oh, and they're doing nothing for the environment, which, you know, our mokopuna deserve a good, clean New Zealand to live in the future. None of that can be seen anywhere near this budget.
It's interesting you say that because it comes within 24 hours of the closure of the Ministry for the Environment. Now, I've done some research on this, guys. I have not been able to find one government around the world that has shut its Ministry for the Environment. Not one.
And this is the thing. They are looking at only like balancing the books in a financial sense, a fiscal sense. They're not looking at what we need going forward. You know, we want, of course, we want our tax dollars spent wisely, but that includes in making sure that we have clean water, that we have, you know, looked after our planet in a way that is sustainable, but also that we've invested in young people. We've got, you know, growing child poverty and we've got children hungry. And we produce enough food to feed everybody. How in New Zealand do we not have a budget that has solutions that puts food in bellies, puts roofs over heads and makes sure there is decent work? This is just unbelievable.
Sandra, I'm looking at the cost here, $780 million out of the pockets of the poorest in New Zealand. The PSA are saying 9,000 job cuts, $2.4 billion stripped out of public services. How is this going to impact the election?
Well, I think what it is doing is galvanising the New Zealand public to say they are not looking after us. We all rely on public services. We rely on healthcare. Now, they've put enough money in the health budget to keep the lights on, but we know there are horrendous waiting lists. We know our nurses and our doctors and our medical professionals are overworked and tired and unable to keep up with demand. So they literally are stealing from all of us. But more than that, they're stealing from the poorest of the poor. They've taken money away from people who live in state housing and then been obnoxious about it and said, well, if you're in state housing, you've won lotto.
Yes.
How can any New Zealander sit by and listen to a government with that sort of rhetoric and say, I'd vote for them again? I think we need to stand up now and start saying very, very clearly, this is a government that has no heart at all. And never puts people first.
Well, Sandra, it also appears that the longer term, or not even longer, the short to medium term projection of unemployment has been undercooked. I mean, we're seeing not only unemployment briefly take a pause down to, I think it's 5.3%. And so what we've got, though, that doesn't take into account underemployment. It doesn't take into account what has been going on in the national workforce, which is casualisation of the workforce. And knowing full well that Māori and Pacifica are amongst some of the lowest paid workers in the country, we're not seeing any cost of living relief. We're seeing also, I guess, figures that show that they saved about $3.8 billion. Oh no, they spent $3.8 billion in new money, but have managed to offset that by $1.7 billion in savings. I mean, I'm sorry, but the 1.7 to 3.8 figure doesn't stack up for me. And we're cutting really close to the wind in terms of the forecast of returning to surplus back in 28-29. With all of that in mind, and no relief in hand for workers, the vulnerable, those in poverty, and even middle-class New Zealand, I mean, even the constituency voters of the squeezed middle apparently aren't getting anything. Where to from here? I mean, because it seemed to be a budget that was loose on fact and more on predictive economics.
Well, the thing is, they are not taking the breadth of what economics is about, which is, you know, making sure we think about more than just the mighty dollar. We think about all of the impacts that are going on, and they've not done that. So I would say, you know, they actually are just providing really bad economic analysis to the country and trying to wrap it up by saying, but we're just moving money around to make sure that we don't increase state debt and that we get back to a surplus. The thing is, if the cost of that surplus is increasing child poverty, why would we agree with that? Why would we not say as a country we need a fundamental change? And so there's two things they could do. They could borrow. The other option is right now they could make sure that everybody pays their share of the tax bill, and that includes reforming the tax system so that we do tax capital gains, because New Zealand workers not only being hit here with services being taken away from them, with insecurity in jobs, but they're being hit with the biggest part of the tax bill because most of it comes from salaries and wages. So we need to fundamentally, as a country, say we want better. And in terms of unemployment, you're absolutely right. 5.5, so it's going up again. That's unemployment. There's underutilisation, people who can't get enough hours. And right now, those people, often in part-time work, just aren't able to get to work because of the fuel crisis. They can't afford to get to work. But if you look at Māori youth, that unemployment figure is 20% in some communities.
And, look,
and what's their answer?
Before we get to Tim for the 5 o'clock news, I guess the other underlying issue here we have, Sandra, is it's now no longer just youth unemployment we're going to be dealing with. We're going to see a lot of people on the scrap heap, I hate to call it that, who are 50-plus, who will probably have to stay on some form of unemployment benefit until they graduate or get an upgrade to superannuation, if you can call it that. At a time when we're seeing public servants laid off in droves, another 9,600, I believe, was the prediction. My goodness, I mean, where does it stop? So, Sandra, from your perspective, from the NZCTU's perspective, what will it take to change this narrative?
The only way we can change the direction of this government, three bad budgets in a row, is to say enough and vote for change. Vote for a new government that actually will give us hope as a country. Look at the tax system, look at wages, protect workers, and of course, fundamentally protect Te Tiriti o Waitangi.
No fear, cool. Hey, Sandra, great. Always a pleasure to have you on the show. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, heaps.
Oh, Bob, you can hear the slurring of my words. It doesn't help when you've had a stroke and you've been up since 6:30.
You're doing an amazing job. You're doing an amazing job.
I hate to say it. Mum's been trying to call me. She's obviously on the gold card, another bloody train trip around the Mutu. Hey,